Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Parag Milk Foods Limited Q1 FY27 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there'll be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Brian DePenna, Head of Investor Relations at Parag Milk Foods Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good day, good evening, everyone, and a warm welcome to the Q1 FY27 earnings call of Parag Milk Foods Limited. We are pleased to have you all join us for this virtual meeting. For the meeting today, we have with us our Executive Director, Ms. Akshali Shah, our Chief Operating Officer, Mr. Rahul Kumar Srivastava, our Chief Strategy Officer, Mr. Ankit Jain, and myself, Head of Investor Relations, Brian DePenna. Today, it gives me great pleasure to introduce you all to Mr. Rakesh Kothari, who has been elevated as the Chief Financial Officer and Key Managerial Personnel of Parag Milk Foods Limited, effective 6th of August 2026. I would now like Rakesh to introduce himself and speak a few words.
Yeah, thanks, Brian. Good evening, everyone. It's a privilege to join Parag Milk Foods as the Chief Financial Officer. I thank the board and the management team for their confidence in me, and I'm excited to be a part of the company which has strong brands and significant growth potential. With over 25 years of experience in banking and corporate finance, including more than two decades with Citibank, I look forward to leveraging my experience in financial strategy, fundraising, treasury, and business transformation to support Parag's next phase of profitable growth. Our focus will remain on disciplined capital allocation, stronger cash flows, sound governance, and creating long-term value for all stakeholders. I look forward to engaging with the investor community and appreciate your continued trust and support. Thank you. Over to you, Brian.
All the very best, Rakesh, and congratulations. Best wishes for continued excellence and impact. After the presentation concludes, we will commence with the Q&A session. Just a couple of points to remember. While asking a question, we request you to announce your name and organization. We request you that you limit your participation to one question at a time and rejoin the queue if you have additional questions. For the purpose of completeness, I do want to read out our safe harbor statement. Certain statements in this meeting with regard to our future growth prospects are forward-looking statements which involve a number of risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those in such forward-looking statements. I now hand over to Ms. Akshali Shah for opening remarks. Over to you, Akshali.
Thank you, Brian. Okay. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. Before I begin, I would like to welcome Mr. Rakesh Kothari, who has recently taken over as the Chief Finance Officer of the company. I'm confident that he will add a significant strength to our finance function as we continue to build a stronger governance and financial framework and will take Parag to a newer height. Let me begin with the quarter. Q1 FY27 has been a quarter of continued execution for Parag Milk Foods. We delivered our highest-ever Q1 revenue of 945 crores, representing 11% year-on-year value growth and 3% volume growth. EBITDA stood at 70 crores. Absolute EBITDA grew by 6% year-on-year, while the EBITDA margin was 7.4% compared to 7.7% last year. The PBT remained broadly flat, while the PAT declined by 20%, primarily due to the current tax impact in this year. What is important to us is not just the headline revenue growth, but how we have navigated the cost environment while continuing to build the business. The milk prices at 42 rupees per liter during the quarter, 13% higher year-on-year and flat sequentially. We responded to this through a combination of calibrated price increases, a better product mix, and targeted promotional optimization and acceleration. As a result, the gross profit increased by 11% to 258 crores, in line with the overall revenue growth, demonstrating that the cost push has been passed on, and as a result, gross margins remain stable. For us, this is an important aspect of the Parag model. We are not looking at pricing in isolation. We are managing price, product mix, promotion, and category growth while continuing to protect the health of our overall dairy ecosystem. Our flagship categories, that is ghee, cheese, paneer, and dahi, continue to form the backbone of the business. Yeah, contributing to 61% of our Q1 revenue. The flagship categories volume declined by 2% year-on-year, mainly due to a transient slowdown. But in B2C, within the flagship categories, recorded a robust growth, while the B2B declined modestly. The overall value growth, however, stands at 10% year-on-year. Go Cheese has 35% market share, and we are number two in the cheese category in India. We are doubling our cheese production capacity from 60 metric ton per day to 120 metric ton per day over the next 1.5 years. With this capacity expansion, we will be able to drive a parallel expansion in our whey protein generation. This will enable us to tap the opportunity of both the categories, which is cheese and whey, a step towards becoming a health and nutrition powerhouse. The new age business, that is Tide of Cows and Avatar, grew by 59% year-on-year in this quarter, and now contributes to around 13% of our overall revenue versus 9% in the Q1 last year. This progress is in line with the roadmap that we have laid out for this business. Through these brands, we are building a differentiated presence across premium dairy, health and wellness, sports nutrition, and functional nutrition. Clearly defining and strengthening our right to win in this space. Avatar is allowing us to build a much broader sports and nutritional functional and nutrition platform. The portfolio has expanded well and beyond the whey protein powders to now protein bars to ready-to-drink products, creatine and other functional and nutrition products. The newly launched ready-to-drink Avatar coffee with 15 grams protein per serving has received a very encouraging response. During the quarter, we have engaged with one of the most viral shows, which is India's Got Latent Season 2, hosted by Mr. Samay Raina, gave Avatar a strong disruptive platform. This show has generated more than 80 million unique reach on YouTube and Netflix together. For us, the importance of this association was not the massive media reach, but giving Avatar the right eyeballs to the relevant targeted audience. As we look ahead, we remain constructive in the upcoming quarters. Milk availability should benefit from the progress of monsoon, and the festive period should provide a supportive demand environment for the value-added categories. We will, however, continue to maintain our discipline on the calibrated pricing in response to commodity costs and promotional investments. In nutshell, our strategic direction remains very clear. We are strengthening the flagship categories, which is ghee, cheese, paneer, and dahi. We are building new age through Pride of Cows and Avatar, We are expanding our manufacturing capabilities well in advance. We are evolving our route-to-market strategy. We are investing behind innovation and brand building. We have the dairy legacy and the farmer connect. We have the dairy legacy, farmer connect, state-of-art facility, the power brands, and the distribution network. We look forward to continue a nourishing traditional delivering nutrition and continue to build a strong space for Parag with a clear definition, right to win, and a focused roadmap. We remain aligned in our ambition to strengthen our leadership in categories we operate in and create sustainable and long-term value for all our stakeholders. Thank you once again for the continued trust and confidence in Parag Milk Foods. Over to Brian. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Akshali. We will now begin with the question and answer session. We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask the question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. I request all the participants kindly limit yourself to one question and rejoin the queue for a follow-up. First question is from the line of Kiran from Table Tree Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much, and a very commendable performance maintaining our operating margins as well as gross margins. I have a couple of questions. The first question is probably more broader, not with respect to this particular quarter. So from March 23 onwards, over the past 3 years, we've grown by 10% in sales, right? 2900, 3100, 3400, 3800. Is this a year where Parag is going to break out of the 10% growth band in sales and really grow by 15%? Or are we kind of given the slightly muted sales in Q1? Do you think we are still going to be a 10% grower in FY27 as well?
Very very relevant question, because you know your query is whether we are poised to do more than 10% growth this year. So I would say that certainly it will be more than 10%, because normally the quarter one is quite not that great any year, and we, as Sally told, that this is the best quarter we had in Q1, having 10% growth. So obviously the second quarter and third quarter, with lot of festive season and demand, certainly we are going to grow more than 10%. So certainly this year will be breaking this 10% growth benchmark.
And
just to add to what Rahul is saying
is, of course, the product mix was also very different in FY23 versus in FY27. We're doing much more value-added products and health and nutrition, especially our new age business in FY23 was less than 3-4%, and today as we speak we're on 13%. It's about how do we make the most about every liter of milk that is coming in. You know, now we're selling whey protein, which is somewhere around 3,000 to 4,000 rupees in MRP. So the value of that is much far superior, and the product portfolio has also changed from there. So moving forward from here, of course, we're just expecting a better growth in volume and in value.
Got it. Thank you so much for that. My second question on Avtar especially. So, ma'am, we have grown 58% this quarter, year on year. Just wanted to kind of get my head around this. Our retail prices of Avtar and rest of our relevant competition have moved up by 100%, right? So the ISO concentrate chocolate was 2,200, now it's about 4,200, roughly there, because of increased whey prices everywhere, and we wanted to increase to be relevant to the competition. So if you have grown by 58%, but the prices have actually doubled in the last 3 to 6 months in terms of retail price that we sell, have we kind of stagnated on volumes, or I'm just not able to figure out how that kind of math works?
Kiran, Ankit this side. With respect to Avtar, while we have reported a new age business growth of 59%, we have a very strong volume growth as well on the new categories. That's why you look at when there is a modest decline of 2% in overall flagship categories, we are able to deliver a 3% volume growth for the company overall. So this is mainly coming, of course, from new age business. See, while when you have seen from a consumer lens in terms of the change in the prices, there are various formats of whey protein. For example, there is a isopure, iso-rich form of protein, which is more of whey protein isolate. Then there are whey blends. Then there is a performance whey. There is fuel whey. So there are various categories of protein. When the protein prices switches, consumer also, we have seen a pattern where consumers also shift themselves to whichever format of protein they want to cater to. But all in all, what I'm saying is this is not just backed by a value growth. This is strongly backed by
a very aligned volume growth as well. And as he mentioned, Sanger, of course, there are newer categories that you've also added, you know, like your ready-to-eat, ready-to-drink. Then we also have some, protein which is for beginners, which is of much lower, cost. Plus, the prices have really not gone up by 100% for Avtar. We've taken a very stagnated price increase over the last couple of quarters. So the prices have not been that much of a change.
Thank you. Kiran, can I request to come back for a follow-up question, please? Thank you. A kind request to all the participants, kindly limit to one question and rejoin for a follow-up. The next question is from the line of Kanish Gupta from SS Family Office. Please go ahead.
Hello, very good afternoon. My question is on distribution. I have observed that Govardhan ghee is widely available, but many of our higher margin new age business products like Go Cheese and Avtar protein bars and coffee are either unavailable or partially available in the same stores. So could you help us understand what is the primary bottleneck over there?
What is his name?
Kanish. Hi, Kanish. See, actually, you know, if you see our new age business, like, you know, we have Avtar protein protein bar, we have Avtar protein ready to drink. These are the very, very channel specific and outlet specific product. Like, you know, we have and we know that, you know, where these products has to be placed. So just to give you two examples, like, you know, because one of the largest throughput of these products are, you know, vending machines. So we have already got into this kind of channel where all the, you know, airport or hostels or canteens, you know, we have put these products. Apart from that, you know, we were never present in the channel like, you know, pharmacy. So where there also, you know, these products are quite readily available. So we are present in the relevant outlets, which we know that these products are having very good throughput on those outlets, and we are working on those lines rather than spreading, you know, kind of a gorilla distribution there.
That's the coffee category. Yeah. Really new, launched it this quarter. So of course, it will take us a good couple of months, a couple of quarters to reach the distribution that we want to achieve.
Thank you.
Plus, a category like protein works really well on the quick commerce platform. So we're widely available there.
Yeah, definitely you have your strategy of placing the products in your strategic stores, but the market leaders still have their products available in the same stores when Govardhan ghee is selling, and people are still purchasing those products of the market leader of protein bars.
Yeah, that's the same distribution is a is a never-ending battle, as you know, we keep seeing in FMCG. So of course, the point is to revamp distribution as it comes, and for not just the length of distribution, but also the depth. And, you know, we've given a guideline saying that by in the next 3 years, we want to be available in more than 1.5 million outlets. And you know, we are reaching towards that and just working towards that roadmap.
Thank you. I request to all the participants, please limit yourself to one question per participant. Next question is from line of Priyanshu Jain from GrowthX Infinity. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, hi team. I have a few questions, but like mainly on the, as in the initial commentary, the management has said about the very viral show about India's Got Latent. So just wanted to know that, like, what is the timeline for this deal which we have done with Mr. Samay Raina? And can you share some data, like how much... like in the total sales from our value-added business, how much we are getting from that show, and like what is the CAC percentage which we are getting, and how much we are spending on this deal? Like we are getting a good ROI on the sales which we are getting. So like this is the question.
See, brand promotion is, brand building is one of important pillar as we look forward. While we have done participation with KBC as well, but all these are purely special commercial deals. We cannot share the specific nitty-gritties what you are asking about with respect to how much is the cost, how much is the timeline, and how is the ROI. See, overall, as Akshali has said in our opening remarks, that it is not just one of the media reach, but it is more about catching the right eyeballs for the brand so that we can create the brand awareness, and especially for the product categories where we have recently introduced like Avtaar protein wafer bars and ready to drink. So I think the tie-up is more towards catching the right eyeballs, create awareness, and of course, as in the previous question we answered about distribution, how do we increase or expand our distribution so that the product is available at the right time to the consumer. So this is all in strategy. We will appreciate that specific commercials will not be disclosed.
Yeah, but just to give you a little bit of on the number aspect, and a show like India's Got Latent works really well on awareness, and it'll be very difficult to drive what is the sales. But one of the parameters that we really see is, of course, the traffic on our website and what are the searches on Google. And over the last 2 months, it's gone up by almost 200%. So that's a good overall achievement that we've gotten. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Kavina Desai from Skyridge Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for this opportunity and congratulations on a good set of numbers. Just wanted to ask one question on the other category. So this quarter, you have seen a 46% decrease in this category. Can you give some light on this? Because this quarter also was a strong summer. And ideally, drinkables and all these sales should have at least been stable, if not higher. So if you could throw some light here.
See, others is a category whereby, so since I would say you would have noticed that we have renamed the core categories to now flagship categories, which now includes Dahi as well. So that's where a seasonal portion or a significant portion of Dahi has moved to flagship categories. With respect to others, currently it comprises of beverages, UHT milk, and miscellaneous other items. You will also appreciate that all the other operating revenues are part of other categories. The other operating revenues primarily also include the income from cattle feed, job processing, as well as the state incentives, the PSI incentive, PLI incentives. These are items which are not on a volume trend, right? Recurring. For example, the GST is the GST post the GST changes in September 2025, the PSI income has substantially reduced because the GST rate has changed for ghee and cheese products, like from 12% to 5%. The state incentive, which is backed by GST, the state GST, has considerably reduced. So others is very much on a miscellaneous path. However, within the others category, we have hero products like UHT beverages, which have done reasonably well.
Thank you. Next question is from line of Devashish from Aban Dubai. Please go ahead.
Yeah, my question is on the operating margin. You know, I'm giving key data points. So first is, like Akshali said, that our contribution from new age has moved from 3% to 12-13%. And there in the previous con call, we heard that the margin here is double than the core category. So my question is, this is one data point. Second data point is, in the previous con call, we also said that we are premium to Amul. And then also we said institution sales are coming down. So my question is that why we are in the business of brand. So why are we not able to pass on the price increase because of inflation, even with the timeline? You know, I'm talking 2 years. Why are operating margins not increasing? And we are the only one who are spending so much on media. And there's no equivalent anyone in the competition who's doing this. So why your operating margin is stagnant for so many quarters around the same range?
Hi Devashish. So with respect to gross margin, if we were to look at sequentially, which is from 28% to now 27.3%, we are almost 70 basis down approximately. If you would observe that, see, milk prices increase, but we are not in the milk price in a business where we do not sell only the milk. So we sell more of a value-added product. If you look at quarter three, the milk prices was 40 rupees, while in quarter four, the milk prices was 42 rupees. So there is always a lag considering the kind of inventory, the weighted average cost of the inventory which we carry. However, in quarter one of current financial year, the full quarter had seen a 42 rupees of milk price versus the previous quarter of 42 rupees. So the increase goes for the full absorption of this quarter as well. Now, while your observation is right, when the new product portfolio mix, new age portfolio mix has improved, yes, it has improved, but it has correspondingly got offset with the increase in the impact on the milk prices. Having said that, as Akshali rightly mentioned, that even going ahead, we are looking at calibrated price increases. So even in quarter one, we have, towards the fag end of the quarter one, we have taken up prices again further in ghee. And we have revisited prices recently for even new age business as well. So this will be a continuous exercise whereby we try to keep the blended portfolio in a certain way, and we don't absolutely increase or pass on the cost push. On a weighted average portfolio level, if you look at YOY, if the sales growth is 11%, gross margin growth is 11%, this clearly demonstrates that the entire cost push has been passed on as a blended portfolio. Having said that, the benefit of mix should arrive. What is your aspiration, or even what is our aspiration? It is a combined effect. We cannot just look at one product in isolation. Cheese and whey go hand in hand, same as ghee or SMP or WMP. I hope this answers.
Thank you. Next question is from line of Viraj from Enigma Investment Partners. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi team. My question is for Rahul. Rahul, if we look at the distribution expansion that we have talked about post your joining and the team that you have hired, and we have gone into newer cities in South India where we were not present, and going into some of the other markets where we were lacking, In spite of that, our core categories have declined in volume, which is actually slightly, which is not the case for some of the other players. So just want to understand the dichotomy that in spite of increasing this reach, it's not kind of fructifying for our core category volume growth. So what's your thinking? How do we catch up to, you know, grow at least 8-10% volume every year? And what is it going to take for your team to get it done?
Hi, Viraj.
Hi.
So just to answer your very specific question on the distribution and the, you know, core category growth. So just like to clarify that, you know, when you talk about core category, it consists of both B2C and B2B. So our main distribution expansion is basically created for more growth in B2C, which is already there. There we are not degrowing. Let's be correct on that. We are not degrowing on the B2C part of the total business. Though B2B, you know, we have to, you know, maintain our profitability and all these things. So sometimes we forego some volumes from the few customers which are negotiating very hard, and we don't go to that kind of pricing to maintain our profitability. So that is the only thing. So overall, there might be degrowth of -2%, but we don't have any degrowth in B2C category, which is basically arising from our better distribution in the existing market as well as the new markets.
Sure, sure, Rahul. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Viraj.
Thank you. Next question is from Anil Desai from Turtle Capital Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. So I'm kind of digging a bit deeper on the earlier participant's question. So I think last two quarters, you know, we have seen kind of softening of the volume growth in the core categories, and you said that largely it is coming from the B2B side of it. So one, if you can help us understand how the B2C part is kind of growing in terms of volumes, and is it that we want to kind of, you know, cede some space in the B2B side because of the pricing pressure or not enough margin being there? Will this trend continue? You know, will we be back to that double-digit aspiration of volume growth in the core category? If you can dwell a little bit more on that, that would be very helpful.
See, when we look at business as a whole, both B2B and B2C are a reality and one business. What Rahulji just mentioned with respect to B2C growth, he's absolutely correct, because the volume growth in B2C per se has grown significantly, because there are one of, we are not here to name certain customer-specific profile or certain channel where we have taken certain stringent action. So that's where, if you look at, we've categorized this more as a transient slowdown in certain specific channel, so that we remain stuck to our, you can say, pricing, so that we don't get down to what is the requirement by the other channel or other specific chain. So this is broadly the thing. I will not be able to share specifically the specific number, but on a guidance, I can definitely share that the B2C category in core categories has grown high single digit or close to double digit.
Thank you. Next question is from line of Rupali from Arthur Spencer. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, Rupali, sorry, go ahead. Yes.
Yeah. So actually, I just wanted to have a clear.
Am I audible? Hello.
Yes, Rupali, go ahead.
Yeah, all right. So just wanted to know, does the price increase
has recently happened, as we said, 35% kind of increase in our new age business, especially Avatar whey protein side? So will it directly hit our PBT levels because we are kind of backward integrated in our whey production? and the price increase in the whey protein market, is it structural or is it temporary?
So globally, the whey protein demand has increased exponentially. You know the reasons, because of this fat reduction, medicines is there, and after that, a lot of protein is recommended to eat. So across US and Europe, the demand has increased. So here also. So it's a, I would say it's not a temporary. It will be a kind of a futuristic kind of demand supply gap in our protein segment.
Thank you. Next question is from line of Anubhav Goyal from Cosma Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to congratulate the team on good efforts on brand building for the Pride of Cows. So my question is, if I caught it right, you mentioned on the B2C side, we saw a high single digit growth. So is that the growth rate we should expect for the flagship part of the portfolio? Because my understanding was these are categories growing double digit in volume for organized players. Like I think paneer has been growing 15-20%. So is it also a reflection that a large part of the portfolio is ghee and then cheese, and paneer and dahi are very, very small?
See, ghee, cheese, paneer, dahi, I'm not giving you a breakup in terms of what is the composition within the flagship categories, but all in B2C categories, all the portfolio is growing and growing very fast. As you rightly mentioned specifically on paneer, that yes, it is growing in double digits. So we are seeing that at the overall flagship categories, we have grown specifically in B2C category at a very high single digit. The aspiration is to, of course, grow double digit. We are working on it, and that's where you see we are taking conscious effort. But it is not that B2B will we will not entertain. See, we are here for being present across the spectrum. So we will be there in B2B as well as B2C. The idea of updating specific numbers on B2C category was that the primary focus is, of course, the consumer who is directly picking your brand. So with that perspective, I think when it is growing towards a very high single digit or maybe towards the double digit growth, that is a reasonable growth, which we had witnessed even last year. On an overall basis, full year, we had an 8% volume growth on core categories when we had reported last year. And if you look at YTD December, it was almost as high as 12% volume growth. There are certain channels, there are certain specific chains which are more of, more on pricing, which is make or break on a deal. So we will like to hold ourselves instead of just pushing for volumes or just getting the revenue. We would not like to go for dilution in margin. So that will be our focus. Profitability remains our key focus.
Thank you. Next question is from line of Arya Shah from Wealth Guardian Services. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. We believe that our margins are lower against competitors due to two key reasons. One, on the procurement side, 60% of our milk procurement is from agents. And on the revenue side, 35% of our revenue is from B2B. So how do you see both of these improving over the next 3 to 5 years? And also on the bookkeeping side, the other income has been spiking every alternate quarter. So what is driving this and what should we expect as the normalized base? Thank you.
So Arya, to answer the first part of the question about this procurement breakup of our own procurement as well as from the agents. So for information, the landing price to our dairy for both are same. So we don't have any much difference between what we procure ourselves and what we buy from the aggregators. So that level, we don't have much difference, just to be very clear on that. What is the second?
The second question is, as compared to other listed players, they've observed that. EBITDA or gross margins are lower. See, gross margin is more from accounting perspective. I'm not commenting in terms of what kind of costs somebody is accounting. We can tell you from our perspective. We have been accounting all the costs pertaining to the procurement, which is the landed milk cost landed at the factory gate as a part of our cost of procurement. And thereby, the gross margins are there. So it is always a like-to-like comparative, whether you look at last quarter or the sequential quarter, etc. That's our accounting framework. However, with respect to EBITDA margins, you will know that there are a couple of reasons, there are a couple of differences which are quite evident that we spend very heavy on brand building. I'm again here not comparing what has happened to Q1 for many other players in terms of the YOY change in the gross margin profile, but or the, even the EBITDA profile. For us, we have been able to maintain it, sustain it, and we have held it. So, for example, on a consolidated basis, we have EBITDA margin of 7.4% versus 7.7%, which is pretty stable without commenting upon how other companies have gone. So, please appreciate that we continue to remain invested in terms of brand building. We have the presence pan-India. We have a distribution network pan-India. So based on that, all our supply chain costs, etc., is part of the same. And having said that, quarter one is always typically for us is little lower as compared to quarter two or quarter three, primarily because of the festive. So the absorption of the fixed overheads is relatively on a lower base. But that's reality that will be there for even the past last year, quarter one as well. So on a like-to-like basis, I would like to only reserve my comment that our margins have remained pretty stable towards 7.4%, and that's all.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Vinod Krishna from Avendus Wealth. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes.
So B2B, you said some channels we are losing because of pricing. Is it because some other players are getting in? Like, how do, is it because of competitive pressures, or and how confident are you that we can grow our B2B cheese and maintain our market shares? And if you can, because it's mostly a 3-4 player market, right? So somebody is so particular on pricing, so are they giving it to somebody else, and is competition price cutting? Like,
yeah, again, it is about detailing to a very high detail. See, over the call, we have shared the details that yes, B2C has grown decent for the flagship categories. Beyond this, we will not be able to share specific that which chain or which channel or what is this transient slowdown. Please appreciate the fact that while we can share the details, it will not be fair and appropriate, and hence we reserve our comment. But to just give you confidence with respect to the brand, the core categories are performing well when overall in B2C. B2B is more of dealings, which happens on a quarterly basis or on a monthly contract basis. So these come and go. We are there to hold ourselves, not to just get swayed with respect to too much heavy discounting, etc. So we will continue to ensure that overall profitability is not impacted for the organization, and we uphold or rather improve upon our profitability.
A conscious call to ensure that profitability is maintained.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ashish Kumar Singh from Arthur's FinServ. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. So we have noticed that your prices have increased from 2500 per kg to 3500 per kg last month. So my first question would be, if that increase would be directly hitting your PBTs because we are backward integrated. Also, can you tell us the total cost of production for wheat per kg?
Ashish, we don't disclose the cost of production. As we know that we have some, you know, we have our own this thing, you know, backward integration for the way raw material, but normally we don't disclose the cost of production.
Okay, so the increase in price would directly be hitting the profit before tax. Would that be disclosed? And can that be disclosed?
So we transparently disclose the milk prices at what rate we have purchased the milk. With respect to how much, what is the weighted average cost in the inventory for specific product, etc. These are quite a lot of detailing which is there as part of the financials or as part of the accounts. But these are normally not disclosed. So you need to look at, instead of focusing on how, what is the cost, because each product will have different cost. Ghee or cheese are not comparable. So, or so hence, I would like to, as Rahulji said, we do not share cost of production for each product or each product category, etc. So the dissection of the revenue shared to the greatest possible detail so that we give a transparent and fair disclosure on through the dissection of the revenue. But on the margin fees, it is more of a blended approach, and we should appreciate that a blended portfolio we are able to deliver what we have been able to do.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ajay Chaudhary from AKC Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Go ahead, sir. Yes, sir.
Actually, 2 years ago, you talked about, you know, your investment in renewable energy like solar projects and other things. But then you never updated on those things, like, you know, what is the cost saving because of those investments. Could you please update on that?
Your voice is coming a little muffled. Can you please repeat your question?
Sure. Just 1 second. Just a few years ago, you guys did some investments in renewable energy, for example, solar projects. Maybe it was number was roughly 50 crores or something. But I haven't seen the any update based on that, like, you know, what kind of cost savings you have had after those investments, and what is the recurring, you know, savings because of those investments.
Yeah, so actually for this renewable energy, we had a collaborative project with Tata Solar Power you know, company. So there we have our renewable energy contribution with that collaboration. Apart from that, we are working on the solar power projects in our various sites. So that is in future. So this is what is present situation. And we make some electricity out of the biogas also, which we have from the farm. We have about 4,500 kettles. So out of that, we generate some energy for the farm also from the biogas. So there are three things. One is that we are going to have, because we have a lot of sites where, you know, we have shades and all for the cattle. On the top of the cattle shade, we can put the solar panels. We have a collaboration with Tata Solar Power, where we have some contribution to the joint venture, and then we produce some biogas power in our for the uses of farm.
Yeah, with respect to the number, I think what has been quoted is 50. That probably you would be referring to the previous report. Probably it could be 50 million. It would, but what we, if you refer to even last annual report, it is 4.6 crores is the investment value and not 50 crores.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next question is from line of Naman Maheshwari from Sangvi Family Office. Please go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
Naman, your voice is echoing very badly. Can you speak through the handset?
Yeah, I think I'm audible now. Is it better?
Yes, Yes.
Great. Just wanted one small clarification, probably a little new to the company. So in that sense, what could be the peak, margin profiles for our new emerging verticals, which are more focused towards the protein offerings? And what is the management aspiration over 3 to 5 years, that what proportion, say from this 13%, can this new age emerging business go to? So just two quick clarifications, three questions. Hello.
While the margins are of course not disclosed at a category level, that's a standard practice. But however, as a guidance, we have always provided, I think, on over multiple calls, that the new age business carries are premium offerings and more value-added offerings and carry superlative margin than the overall company's average. The margins are almost as high as double the company's average. But this is more of indication just for your update. But we will like to reserve sharing any specific gross margin across each of the category or across each of the portfolio.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Amish Kanani from Novice Investment Managers. Please go ahead. Amish, may I request to unmute your line and proceed with your question?
Yeah, sorry. I was on mute. Sorry. Recently, the reports of this Maharashtra FDA, being very active on so many, restaurants and, closing down on these things. And there were also anecdotal reports about, generally in Maharashtra and in general, paneer and, proteins are many a times being found as adulterated or mixed up. Any sense of whether this, how is it affecting us on the ground, one, either positively or negatively? Because considering that we are a more Western India player, I would like to know your thoughts on, is it positive or negative? Thanks.
So answering your question on the FDA, on the paneer. So basically, they have restricted the sale of analog paneer, which is basically a paneer which is not made out of milk fat but vegetable fat. So normal consumer, they don't know whether if this contains milk fat or vegetable fat. So just to eliminate that confusion, they have banned any paneer which is basically not made out of the milk fat, which is not a case with us because we make 100% with milk fat. So in that case, it's good for us to at least provide the good quality paneer to the consumer, because then the bad quality is banned. So basically this is good for us, but this is only for the paneer which is made out of the vegetable fat, which FDA has banned. Rest, I think FDA in general is going for all the food products and outlets. Yeah.
Overall, this is a good move for the industry, because then everything is moving towards milk-based and dairy-based products. So this will help us also and the entire organized industry.
Thank you. Next question is from line of Rahul Jain from Credence Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations to the entire team on a good set of operating performance in a tough environment. So my question is regarding, one, the milk price inflation somewhere now it is stable. We don't expect milk prices to move further from here on. And accordingly, the prices of products which we have increased in the last quarter also, are we done with price increases to take care of the milk inflation till rupees 42? So thereby going ahead, can we see improving operating margins, given that we have mentioned in previous participants' answers that we will improve our sales performance? And one more just question about the new age business. New age business has done extremely well for us in last 3-4 years, growing from about 115 crores to almost 365 crores in the FY26. And the first quarter growth is also around 57%. Even that should also improve. Can we say this year we should be clocking around 620-650 crores of revenues in the new age business, given the quarter two and quarter three will be better? So these are my two questions. Hello.
Coming to your first question on the milk prices, I would say that milk prices are almost on the stable platform. Maybe there will be very slight increase in coming months because of the onset of monsoon, where because of seasonality milk production goes down a little bit because of the humidity and some other factors, environmental factors. Second is that demand is more in terms of festivities, so there might be some slight increase in the milk prices. I would not say that it won't increase. So there will be slight, but much, because we're already on the good platform on the milk prices. Your question on the new age business, I think you have to see the evolution. It is already from 9% to 8% to 13% now, which is almost 50% jump in terms of growth rate and percentage in the total revenue. So perhaps even if we are able to maintain that, I think this is a very good, remarkable progression on the new age business. So 13% out of whatever we do this year, and then last year it was only 8%. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Nano Sabnil Gupta from White Pine Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Could you please clarify whether the announced increase in cheese production capacity from 60 metric ton to 120 refers to finished cheese output metric per 10 day or amount of milk process for cheese production? Additionally, what is the current capacity utilization of the existing cheese plant?
So, we are increasing our cheese capacity to double it from 60 metric ton per day to 120 metric ton per day. And as Khali said in her opening statement, that it will be done in next 1.5 years. So maybe by March 28, we will be able to make our capacity to 120 metric ton. Simultaneously, we have to increase the milk procurement also to catch up the requirement which is needed by the cheese plant. So that also we are working on that. But that will not be an issue because we have good strength to collect milk.
Thank you. Next follow-up question is from line of Debashish from Abandabai. Please go ahead.
Yeah, my question is the channel of distribution for whey protein and whey protein bar, I'm assuming, is more tilted towards e-commerce and quick commerce. So my question is, what is the contribution of the category from e-commerce and quick commerce, and what is the market share of for now, and what's the market share of on and muscle blade? Hello.
Hi, Devashish.
Hi.
So can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Just check our speaker got disconnected. Just give us a minute.
Is it connected now?
Yes, we can hear you. Sir, go ahead. We can hear you.
Yeah. So, just to give you, and you can also refer to the investor PPT page number 28. Our revenues from QuickCom, eCom, and our website is 75%, and 25% is coming from the traditional retail or specialized protein outlets. So this is the mix of distribution for Avtar.
Thank you. Next follow-up is from the line of Kiran from Table Tree Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much. Wanted to understand around the raw milk prices. I heard you just now saying milk price might go up slightly due to festive season. Just wanted to understand, we generally have the flush season in the next, 3 to 6 months, right, till October, November. And milk price generally goes down in the flush season. So are we saying that we don't have the flush that usually happens this year because of intermittent monsoons, or the flush is going to happen but the demand for milk by everybody, not just us, but by so much competition, is so high that the milk price are not going to come down?
Kiran, just to correct what I said, I actually said that because of the monsoon, we are expecting a milk flush, and because of the festive season, we are expecting the demands to go up in the value-added categories. Milk prices, as we speak, are stable, but we are in a dynamic environment, and commodity prices can fluctuate. So you never know in the future how the milk prices are going to pan out. But as we speak, we are seeing the milk prices being stable at current.
Thank you very much. Next follow-up question is from line of Arya Shah from Well Guardian Services. Please go ahead.
My question on the bookkeeping side, the other income has been spiking every alternate quarter. It's been fluctuating. So what is driving this and what should we expect as a normalized base?
Yeah, so the other income in this current quarter is very, very low, largely primarily from the interest on bank deposits. However, as you mentioned, it fluctuates. Typically, there are two reasons to it. One is the fair valuation on the biological assets, which is a exercise which we do on an annual basis and based on the change in number of cows. So that's where always March numbers will have a higher share on fair value changes in the livestock based on the overall valuation. This is like just like an actuarial valuation the way we do for other employee benefit expense. If you look at the previous year, which is the YOY Q1 last year, during Q1 last year, we had one-off item with respect to sale of one of the assets. Specifically, we had mentioned last year, it was sale of our Sonipat plant, which was lying idle. So we had sold off that plant, and the entire capital gain or the gain on sale of fixed assets is part of the other income. I hope this answers.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take that as a last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to Sir Brian De Penna for closing comments.
On behalf of Parag Milk Foods Limited, thank you all for joining us today. Have a wonderful evening.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
On behalf of Parag Milk Foods Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.